ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். சாப்டர் 1 4th பாதம் ஆனுமானிக அதிகரணம். ஆனுமானிகமப்யேகேஷாமிதி சேத் ந ஷரீர ரூபக விநியஸ்த க்ருஹீதே தர்ஷயதி ச சூக்ஷ்மம் து தத் அர்ஹத்வாத் தத் தீனத்வாத் அர்த்தவத் ஞேயத்வ அவசனாச்ச வததீதி சேத் ந ப்ராஜ்ஞோ ஹி ப்ரகரணாத். த்ரயாணாம் ஏவ சைவம் உபன்யாசஹ ப்ரஷ்னஶ்ச. So we have been seeing the 6th sutra in the 4th pada first chapter, the 112th running Brahma Sutra. And the objection raised in Sutra 5, the previous sutra, is further refuted here. And Vyasacharya says, Swatantra Pradhana or Swatantra Prakriti does not have Vedic support. Vyasacharya talks about Atma and not Pradhanam or Prakriti at all. And in support of that, he gives further argument in this sutra. So by analysis of the topic of Kathopanishad, there is no scope for Pradhanam at all. And only 3 questions have been asked by Nachiketas, and the entire Upanishad is the answer for these 3 questions by Yamadharmaraja. And there is no mention of Pradhanam in any of the 3 questions or in the answers. So Vaidika Karma, that is the Nachitagni ritual, the Jivatma and Paramatma are the 3 topics. And where is the question of Pradhanam here, when these are the 3 topics only? And now the Purapakshi says, you have a problem. The problem is, when you ask the question of Jivatma and Paramatma, do you mean Jivatma and Paramatma Aikyam or Jivatma Paramatma Bheda? What is it you mean? And the Purapakshi says, either way you will be in trouble. If they are identical, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is there, then Vyasa Sutra is in trouble. It talks of 3 questions and you say Agni ritual is one. And if Jivatma and Paramatma are identical, that means there are only 2 questions. And the Sutra will be wrong because it says 3 questions. So there will not be 3 questions. And to avoid this, if you say Jivatma and Paramatma Bheda, then there will be no problem in the Sutra. That is correct. But all the 3 questions are answered, but the Upanishad will have a problem. In the Upanishad, 3 boons are given by Yamadharmaraja. And through the first boon, the father's peace of mind was asked. And through the second boon, the ritual, Nachiketa Agni, was asked. And now tell me, through the 3rd boon, Jivatma is discussed or Paramatma is discussed? If you say both are different. So if you say Jivatma and Paramatma are 2, then Paramatma topic will be outside of the boon. So if Paramatma is outside, then 1 boon will be short. How can there be 3 boons and 4 topics? So this is the Purapakshi's question. And Yamadharmaraja gave 3 boons, and the 4th one is a bonus topic. That is the only answer we can give. For that, the Sankhya philosopher says, if you can add a bonus topic, why cannot I add a bonus topic of Pradhanam or Prakriti? What is wrong in that? So that bonus Pradhanam is added in 1.3.15 of Kathopanishad Mantra. Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Avyayam, Tatarasam, Nityam, Agandavachayatim, Anadhyanantam, Mahataparam Dhruvam, Nichayam, தன் மிருத்யு முகாது பிரமுச்சதே. தட் ஸ்லோகா வி ரெட் எஸ்டர்டே. திஸ் ஆர் திஸ் மந்த்ரா. அண்ட் த பூர்வபக்ஷி he says it talks about prakriti or pradhanam only, and Vedanta said it talks about purusha only and not prakriti or avyaktam. So there will be dosha in three questions, or there will be dosha in three boons. Either way, Shankaracharya actually he now riddles this entire thing, Purvapakshi's argument. While discussing three boons, we have to assume Jivatma Paramatma Aikya. That is, while discussing the three boons, which is given by Yamadharma Raja, Shankaracharya says, we should assume Jivatma Paramatma Aikya. And while discussing the three questions, we have to assume Jivatma and Paramatma Bedaha in Brahma Sutra. So in his commentary, Acharya says, the first is father's peace of mind. That's what Nachiketa says, peace of mind to his father. And the second is Jivatma. And the third is Paramatma. Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. So Sankaracharya elaborately proves Jivatma Vishaya Varam and Paramatma Vishaya Varam. And while discussing Vyasa Sutra, he says Jivatma and Paramatma Beda should be taken into account. So Sankhya will ask, how can you do this mischief? What is the mischief? While talking about the varam, the boon, you talk of Aikya. And while talking about the questions, what do? You talk of Beda. How it is possible? When you talk of Aikyam, how can you talk about Beda also? How can you take Aikyam and Beda together? Vedantins can very comfortably talk about Aikyam and also very comfortably talk about Beda also. How? From the Vyavaharika Drishtyam and from Paramarthikam Drishti Bedaha. Paramarthika Drishtyam, Paramatma refers to Upahita Chaitanyam. We have already defined that. Paramarthika Drishtyam, Paramatma refers to Upahita Chaitanyam, and from Vyavaharika Drishtyam, it refers to Visishta Chaitanyam. Guna Visishta Chaitanyam. We have discussed all this in detail. So, Vyavaharika Drishtyam, that is Vachyartha Drishtya Bedaha, and Lakshyartha Drishtya Aikya. So, when you talk of boon, varam, it is Paramarthika Drishti. And when you talk of Vyavaharika Drishti, it is about the three questions, and either way, let it be anything, but what is the crux? Either way, Pradhanam is not at all discussed in mantras. So you can never take shelter in this mantra in support of your argument. That is what Acharya says to the Purvapakshi. So with this, the sixth sutra is over. Now let us go to the seventh sutra. Mahatvacham. Seventh sutra, fourth pada, first chapter, 111th Brahma Sutra. 113th. So an argument in support of the first sutra is given here. Just in the case of Mahat, Avyakta, also is used in the Vedas in sense, in a sense different from that of Sankhya. The use of the words Mahat and Avyakta in Vedas is different from the way Sankhyas use it. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. And here Vyasacharya, what does he discuss? He discusses the Upanishad talks about Mahat. He talks about Mahat also, which is a word used by the Sankhyas. In Kathopanishad, we have Mahat, we have Avyaktam, we have Purushaha. All those things are there in Kathopanishad. We read that sloka. And Sankhyas also use these three words. Now let us look at the Mahat occurring in the mantra. Which mantra? In the Kathopanishad mantra. And once we know Mahat is used in different meaning from the Sankhya meaning, we can extrapolate the meanings of other two words also. As Mahat is different from Sankhya, Mahat, the Sankhya Mahat, so Sankhyas also have Mahat. So the Mahatta Vedantin is different from Sankhya, the Sankhya Mahat. The word Avyakta also of Vedanta is different from that of Sankhya Sabda. That can also be proved. This is the approach Vyasacharya is going to take. So here the Vyasacharya says, it is different from the Mahat used by Sankhyas. The word Mahat is used in Kathopanishad, the mantra 1.3.10, which I read in the last class. ஆஸ் மகான் ஆத்மா மகான் பரஹா இந்திரியேபிய பராகத்தா ஆர்த்தேபியஸ்ச பரம் மனகாம் மனசஸ்து பரா புத்திகி புத்தேர் ஆத்மா மகான் பரஹா. தட் இஸ் த 10th ஸ்லோகா ஆஃப் தி தேர்ட் செக்ஷன் ஆஃப் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் கட்டோபனிஷத். அண்ட் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் மந்த்ரா 11th மந்த்ரா வாட் இட் சேஸ் மகதா பரம் அவ்யக்தம் அவ்யக்தாத் பரஹா புருஷா. ஸோ புருஷான்ன பரம் கிஞ்சித்து சா காஷ்டா சா பராகதிஹி. ஸோ மகான் ஆத்மா ஃபோக்கஸ் ஆன் த வேர்ட் ஆத்மா விச் கேன் பி யூஸ் ஃபார் வாட் ஃபார் ஒன்லி எ சேத்தன வஸ்து. யூ கேனாட் யூஸ் த வேர்ட் ஆத்மா ஃபார் அன் அச்சேத்தன வஸ்து. ரிஃப்ளெக்டிவ் நவுன் கேன் பி யூஸ்ட் ஒன்லி டு எ கான்ஷியஸ் என்டிட்டி. ஒன்லி சேத்தனம் கேன் பி யூஸ் இந்த ஃபார் தி வேர்ட் செல்ஃப் ஆத்மா. For the word I, for all of them, self and all that thing, only a Chetana Mahatattvam only can be used, which is equivalent to what? The Hiranyagarbha principle, which is a Chetana Tattvam. Hiranyagarbha is a Chetana Tattvam. So which is equivalent to what? The Hiranyagarbha principle. So in Sankhya, Mahat is used for what? To Pradhanam, Prakriti modification, which is inert matter. Sankhya Mahat is Achetanam, inert, and Vedanta Mahat is Chetana Tattvam, Hiranyagarbha Tattvam. And so the word Atma gives the clue to a Chetana Vastu. When it says Mahan Atma, that word Atma gives a clue to a Chetana Vastu. So if Vedanta Mahat is different from Sankhya Mahat, Vedanta Abhyaktam is also different from Sankhya Sabhyaktam. This is the general idea. This is a general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. First, let us take the word cha. Cha means moreover. Then, mahatvata. Mahatvata, like the word mahat, occurring where? In 1.3.10 and 1.3.11 of Kathopanishad. That does not reveal the Sankhya Pradhanam, Sankhya Prakriti. And cha means moreover. Like the word mahat occurring in Kathopanishad, the word avyakta also does not reveal Sankhya Pradhanam. 1.3.10 of Kathopanishad. Indriyebhyah parakyatta artebhyascha paramanaham manasastu para buddhihi buddher atma mahan paraha. So the significance of the word cha, that is what? It conveys another reason added to the reason given in the previous sutra. That is why it says cha, add in addition. Then mahatvat, the suffix mahat, the vat is indicates what? In the meaning of comparison, it compares. So Shankaracharya gives another example also, saying that mahan, the word mahan is used for atma also in another portion of Kathopanishad in the second chapter, second section, mantra 22 of Kathopanishad. Here, mahan atma refers to Brahman itself. அஷரீரகும் ஷரீரேஷு அனவஸ்தேஷு அவஸ்திதம் மகாந்தம் விபுகு ஆத்மானம் மத்வா தீரஹா ந சோசதி. சம்டைம்ஸ் மகான் ஆத்மா ரெஃபர்ஸ் டு ஹிரண்யகர்பா, சம்டைம்ஸ் பரமாத்மா இட் செல்ஃப். வெதர் இட் இஸ் ஹிரண்யகர்பா ஆர் பரமாத்மா, இட் ரிவீல்ஸ் வாட்? ஒன்லி எ சேத்தன வஸ்து. அவர் எம்பசிஸ் இஸ் வாட்? ஆன் சேத்தன வஸ்து. But does not reveal Achetana Pradhanam or Achetana Prakriti. With this, the 7th sutra is also over. So this Adhikarana, it's a small one, is also over. To conclude, now again we have to do the 5-factor format analysis. First one is Vishayaha. Vishayaha is the subject matter. So the subject matter of the Adhikaranam is what? The word Avyaktam occurring in the 11th mantra, 3rd section of 1st chapter of Kathopanishad. Mahata param avyaktam, avyaktat purusha paraham, purushanna param kinchitim, sa kashta sa paragatihi. And what is the samshaya, the doubt here? Is avyaktam, is sankhya pradhanam, or is it anything else? That is the doubt. Is it prakriti or sankhyas or something else? And what does the Purvapakshi argue? He says that the word avyaktam reveals sankhya pradhanam only. Sankhya pradhanam is the basic matter principle, which has got an existence independent of consciousness. It is independently existent. It is swatantra achetana tattvam. And the support he says is what? Upanishad also uses these three words, namely Mahat, Purusham, and Avyaktam. So Sankhya philosophy also uses the same three words and asserts they relate to Pradhanam only. That is the argument of the Purvapaksha. And what the Siddhanta says? The word Avyaktam refers to the physical body alone, which is indicated in the Ratha, chariot imagery. The chariot imagery which we read in the previous class, Ratha. So the Ratha Kalpana. This is the primary approach. And the secondary approach is what? We can take Avyaktam as the basic matter principle. So a compromised version of Avyaktam is basic matter or energy, which is dependent on consciousness. Most important, it is not independent. It is dependent on consciousness and it does not talk about an independent matter at all. That is the Siddhanta's view. It is Paratantra Mula Prakritihi Natu Svatantravata. So whether it is the first meaning or second meaning, we do not accept Pradhanam of Sankhya philosophy. And what is the Sangati? The same Sangati. It is placed in the appropriate position only. So with this, the first Adhikaranam of the fourth Pada is over. Now let us go to the second Adhikaranam. The name of the Adhikaranam is Chamasadhikaranam. Chamasavat Avisheshat is the first sutra here, which is the eighth sutra in the fourth Pada first chapter and 114th Brahma Sutra. Chamasavat Avisheshat. So an expression from Shvetashvatara Upanishad is now taken for analysis here. And the author, he refutes then another wrong interpretation given by the Sankhyas of a mantra from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad here. Let us first see the general introduction to this second Adhikaranam. This Adhikaranam has got three sutras, and here Vyasacharya analyzes a mantra, fourth chapter, fifth section, fifth mantra of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Then mantra is also a popular mantra. Ajamekam lohita shukla krishnam bhakvi prajaha srijamanam sarupaham ajohekaham yushamanonushetem jahatyenam bukta bogam ajonyaha. That is a mantra 4.5 of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. It is a very well-known mantra, often quoted by Adi Shankaracharya. Both in Brahma Sutra and in Shankara Bhashyams, many of the Shvetashvatara mantras are quoted. And many people say even the available Shankara Bhashya is not his own. People say for this also. So the mantra in question not only occurs in this Upanishad, it also occurs in Mahanarayana Upanishad with slight modification. Ajamekam lokita shukla krishnam bhaktim prajam janayanti gum sarupam ajoheko jushamano nusetem jahatyenam bukta boga majonyaha. So janayanti gum sarupam is there in the first line. There srijamanam sarupaha is there in the first line of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. That is the only difference. So why do we take this mantra for analysis? Unless there is a controversy, it won't find a place in Brahma Sutra, right? So the Sankhya philosopher, he takes this mantra for Vedic support in support of his argument, because he wants to take independent Purusha Tattvam and independent Prakriti Tattvam also. He wants to prove Prakriti is also independent. This is Sankhya philosopher's aim. They want to say that there is independent consciousness and independent matter, and both are reality according to them. Matter is also defined just as ours. He wants basic support from Veda in support of his view. And Vyasacharya is ready to accept Purusha as Nirguna and Prakriti as Saguna. According to Vyasacharya, he is willing to accept this, Purusha as Nirguna, Paramatma, and Prakriti as Saguna. But what he does not want to accept, he is not ready to accept both as real. He says Purusha is real, no problem. But Prakriti is unreal. For real Prakriti, Sankhya philosopher wants support. And he quotes this mantra in support of his view. So this mantra is interpreted in four different ways. And the Sankhya philosopher, he gives one interpretation. and three more interpretations, they belong to Vedantins. So Sankhya's philosopher, that interpretation, one interpretation is not acceptable by us. So in all the interpretations, we will focus on the word aja, ajaha. So for the word aja, there is an adjective, Lohita Shukla Krishna. So this is, these two terms, they are adjectives to aja, the term aja. So this also we have to analyze. So the mantra, as I told, has got four interpretations. And the Sankhya philosopher gives the first interpretation. And he says, aja means Swatantra Prakriti only, the basic matter which is independent and real. It is independent and real. Prakriti, Swatantra Prakriti. Because it is Swatantra, it is independent. And the nature of Prakriti is Lohita Shukla Krishna. It means Lohita means the red color, and it signifies Rajoguna. And Shukla refers to the white color, which signifies Sattvaguna. And Krishna refers to black or dark color, which means Tamoguna. So this Prakriti creates many products. These are our Sankhya's arguments. This Prakriti creates many products, and it creates many effects also. A karyam effect is called praja. The effect of this Prakriti is praja. Karyam. Karyam according to Sankhya is mahat. They are all effects. Mahat, ahankara, manas, all the pancha bhutas, pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, all of them are effects according to Sankhya. The products. The products are similar to the cause. The similarity is what? All of them are trigunatmakam. Prakriti is also trigunatmakam. Prakriti is endowed with all the three gunas. So all the products are also endowed with all the three gunas. Karanam is sagunam and karyam also is sagunam. So word ajaha means jivatma. And ekaha ajaha means a particular jiva. And one jivatma means some jivatma. When it says one jivatma, some jivatma, some particular jivatma. And what do? They go after Prakriti, they serve the Prakriti, they enjoy the Prakriti, and go along with Prakriti, and undergo samsara. So punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam cycle they undergo. And they go after Prakriti and suffer. Whereas there is another Prakriti, another person, the other intelligent jivas, they make use of the Prakriti intelligently to get all the purusharthas. They make use of the purusharthas. And then what they do? They give up Prakriti also. So the second set of people use the Prakriti intelligently and throw it away after use. So here the first word, ajam ekam lohita shukla krishnam, that first aja here of the mantra means Swatantra Prakriti. And the second aja, where it comes, ajoheko jushamano nushete, that is coming in the second line, and that it means jivatma. So the first ajaha means Prakriti and second ajaha refers to jivatma kadi. So Prakriti means ajaha because it is anadi and birthless, and Prakriti is called ajaha and it is anadi. And similarly, jivatma is also ajaha and jivatma is purushaha and also birthless. So the word ajaha means what? Birthlessness, the one who is birthless. So ajaha means the one who is birthless. And according to Sankhya philosophers, sattva, rajas and tamoguna prakriti, this prakriti is capable of creating, that is the prakriti endowed with these three gunas, trigunatmika prakriti, is capable of creating anything. And all of them are swarupa and similar to prakriti swarupam, all of them. Sankhya also claims, since ekaha ajaha purushaha and anyaha arjaha purushaha, both he says, it is in support of atma bahutvam, many atmas. So one ajaha is purusha, another ajaha also purusha, and that means there is bahutvam of many, atmas are many in support of his argument. So the prakriti is trigunatmaka and purushas are many and purushas are beginningless. And Prakriti is one, and Prakriti is also beginningless. Purushas are many, Prakriti is one. Prakriti is also beginningless, Purusha is also beginningless. This is Sankhya's argument. And some Purushas, they run after Prakriti. And some of them, what they do? They make use of prakriti and attain moksha and get rid of prakriti also. So Lohita Shukla Krishna Ajaham is equal to Gunatraya Visishta Swatantra Pradhanam according to that. Lohita Shukla Krishna Ajaham is equal to Gunatraya Visishta Swatantra Pradhanam. Prakriti. This is the first interpretation given by whom? By Sankhyas. To claim what? That his claim is backed by Shruti Pramanam. Because we say everywhere Shruti Pramanam. So he also wants to get support from Shruti in support of his argument. And the second and third interpretations, I told initially there are four interpretations. This is the first one by the Sankhyas. And the second and the third interpretations, they refer to Vedantic interpretation only. Here, we also accept Ajaha as Prakriti or Pradhanam, exactly like Sankhyas. And they say Lohita Shukla Krishna represents three gunas. And we also agree with that. Then where do we differ from them? While they say Prakriti is Swatantra Prakriti, we say Prakriti is only Paratantra Prakriti. It is not Swatantra, it is not independent, it is dependent. Swatantra means independent. Paratantra means dependent. So the first one is Sankhyas. And the second is Vedantic interpretation that this Siddhanta gave. There is no controversy in the later three Padas actually, the Tathas. So Shankaracharya gives the third interpretation in this Adhikarana. It is not Svetasvatara Upanishad commentary. According to him, Aja means Paratantra Prakriti only. Paratantra means dependent, as I mentioned earlier. So the word Lohita Shukla Krishna, Shankaracharya has taken them as three colors only and not as three gunas. He has just taken all three physically as three colors only. Lohitam means red color, Shuklam white color, Krishna black color. That means Varnatraya Visitta Paratantra Prakriti. The Prakriti endowed with the three varnas, red, white, and black. And this is the first interpretation is Gunatraya Visishta Swatantra Prakriti, independent by the Sankhyas. And the second interpretation is Gunatraya Visishta Paratantra Prakriti is Ajaham, that is bias. And the third interpretation is Varnatraya Visishta Paratantra Prakriti. Then comes the fourth interpretation, which is given by whom? Not by Shankaracharya, but Vyasacharya himself in this Adhikarana, through this sutra. He says, Aja does not mean Prakriti at all. Aja means Bhutatrayam, Agni, Apaha, and Prithivi, three Bhutas. And Lohita, Shukla, Krishna, Ajaha means Varnatrayam, the three Varnas. Here, Ajaha means Varnatraya Visishta Bhutatrayam. Varnatraya Visishtam, Bhutatrayam, the three Bhutas endowed with three Varnas. For one Aja Shabdam, four meanings are now given. Of these four interpretations, the third and fourth are given in this Adhikarana. So the first is what? Purvapakshi's interpretation, which we already saw. And the second does not occur in this Adhikaranam. The one, three, and four, they are in Siddhanta's interpretation here, three and four. The essence is what? The Upanishad does not support the Sankhya's arguments. The details of the third and fourth interpretations we will see later. So with this general introduction, let us go for the general analysis of the first sutra of the Adhikarana. Here Vyasacharya says, Svetasvatara mantra is a very general mantra, which does not specifically support any philosophy. Whether it is Sankhya or Vedanta, doesn't support any of them. Aja means the birthless, can be taken for anything. Atma can be taken as Aja. Brahma can be taken as Aja. Jivatma can be taken as Aja. So how can this be taken as one of Sankhya's philosophies? All philosophers interpret to suit to their philosophy. The word Lohita, Shukla, Krishna also is very general words. They represent what? Three colors only. This can be defined in any manner. One likes symbolism to be interpreted. Therefore, symbolism can be used for anything. In any manner. It is after all a symbol to denote something. For the word Aja and Lohita, Shukla, Krishna, There is no norm to define, and Shastra should be taken as the norm, as the mantra occurs where? In the Vedas. Because it occurs in the Vedas, we need to resort to only Shastra for the interpretation. Symbolism should be closer to Shastra. In some areas, Shastras explain symbolism. Whereas Shastric Vyakhyanam is there, we can take that. Wherever Shastric Vyakhyanam is there, we can take that. For example, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 7 types of annam, food, is defined in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's an interesting topic there. And if you go by that, Sankhya has no support at all. And Vyasacharya, he refers to the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra as the example. And the word chamasa is a ladle, a spoon. To offer materials in the yaga, to offer ahutis, you take that ladle, and it's made of wood many times, and offer it. You use that to offer ahutis, oblations. And the second meaning is a vessel. In the, all the yagashalas, you will have vessels where you keep off the ghee and so many things. So Upanishad talks about a vessel in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in the second chapter, second section, third mantra. Arvag bilas chamasaha urdva buddhnaha tasmin yesho nihitam vishwarupam tasya sata rishayaha sapta tire vag ashtami brahmanam samvidaneti. That is the mantra. That is the second chapter, second section, third mantra. And there is a vessel. There's a vessel in the Yagashala, and he is giving the description of the vessel. And how that vessel is? That vessel is upside down. It is bottom up. It is an upturned vessel. And it is filled with manifold glories. It is filled. That is there in the vessel. It is not an empty vessel. Filled with manifold glories. And on the sides of the vessel, who are sitting? 7 rishis are seated around that. And not only that, there is an 8th rishi also. And the 8th rishi is the organ of speech, is the 8th rishi. The second line says, Vag Ashtami, Vak. That is Ashtami, 8th rishi. Now you can interpret this in any manner you like. Please tell me, what is the upside down vessel full of glory with 7 rishis sitting around? This is a riddle. We better go by Shastra only. Unfortunately, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself explains what is that vessel with this upside down, filled with glories, surrounded by 8 rishis. The Upanishad says, Arvak vilas chamasa urdva buddhna iti idam tachiraha. Yesha kyarvak vilas chamasa urdva buddhnaha. Urdva buddhnaha. Tasmin yesho nihitam vishwarupam iti. Pranavai yesho nihitam vishwarupam pranane tadaha. Tasya sata rishayaham. Sapta tira iti pranava rishayaha pranane tataha vagashtami brahmana samvidhanetim vagashtami brahmana samvitte. This is the mantra. This mantra gives the description of all these people. Iti dam tachiraha yesham kervag vilas chamasa urdva buddhnaha. Your own head, urdva buddhnaha. Your own head, the shiraha, is set upside down. If you cut the head there, it is an opening at the bottom. And the glory is what? The knowledge received by all the sense organs. The knowledge belongs to the head. It is called Vishwarupam because knowledge is also manifold. You get varieties of knowledge. Pranavai yesho nihitam Vishwarupam. The holes are taken as sense organs through which all information, knowledge flows into the head. Prana vai rishayaha. And Upanishad gives the names of the rishis also. Since the mouth is eating all the time, then it is called Atri Rishi is mentioned. Atri Rishi, Atta. And there is no question of right or wrong here in the interpretation. We accept it as Shastra Pramana. Similarly, you interpret Ajaha also in Shveta Swatara Upanishad also generally. Now let us give the word analysis for this sutra. And there are two words. This example is given forward from Brihadaranyakam. Any kind of interpretation can be given, but whatever is given in the Shastra is what we take because we are studying the Shastras. And there are two words in this sutra. Chamasavate, like a cup. Chamasavate. And Avisheshat. Avisheshat means because of no special characteristic. No Vishesha. No special characteristic. So the word Aja in Shvetashvatara Upanishad does not reveal Sankhya Pradhanam. Because there are no specific references. Avisheshat. How? Chamasavate. As in the case of the chamasa, this ladle in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra 2.2.3 that we just read. So this is the meaning. So avisheshat means any specific indication is not there in the mantra itself. No vishesha indications there. No special specific indication. So mantra says birthless ajaha. Of what? Birthless of what? That is not defined or specifically mentioned here. Which birthless thing Aja says, we do not know. Lohita, Shukla, Krishna, they also do not indicate anything except the three colors. Also Avisesha. So Chamasa mantra also does not give any clue. So I can define as I wish. That is what we are trying to drive at here. One can interpret the way one wants. So when you go by Shastra, then how do you prove that it reveals Vedanta? Because we are saying now, if you interpret yourself, you can interpret in any way you want. But when you go by Shastra, then we have to now prove that the Shastra interpretation reveals Vedantic principle, not Pradhanam of Sankhyas. That is given in the next sutra that we will read. Jyotiraham upakramatu tatahi adhiyata eke. Jyotihim upakramatu tatahi adhiyata eke. Fourth sutra of ninth sutra of the fourth section of first chapter, 115th running Brahma Sutra. And this is an explanatory sutra, as it were, of the sutra for the eighth sutra, previous sutra. So let us do the general analysis first. And we said in the previous sutra that the mantra was too general. It was not specific. Avisheshat. And we have to study the Shastra further. Wherever doubts are there, what we should do? Read the Shastra again. Don't say Shastra is wrong. Read it again. So now we have to interpret, keeping the interpretation of Shastra itself. Because Shastra is Pramanam. So we have to again try to interpret based on Shastra only. And Shankaracharya's interpretation is the third interpretation here. I said there are four interpretations, right? So Shankaracharya says, the word Aja means a beginningless entity. Beginningless. So it is actually Aja means its feminine gender. It should refer to Prakriti. So the question is what? This birthless Prakriti, is it Swatantram or Paratantra? Is it independent or dependent? And the mantra does not say anything about it at all. We cannot blindly take anything also to suit to our views. In the beginning, the Shvetashvatara mantra said, 1.3 says, it gives some clue. Te dhyana yoga anukata apashyanne devatma shaktim swagunair Nigudam, Nigudam. Ya karanani nikilani tani kalatma yuktan yedithishtat yekaha. There is that mantra 1.3 of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Here, if I read it the way I normally read, then it will be better. Te dhyana yoga anugata pasyan devatma shaktim sagunair nigudam. Ya karanani nikilani tani kalatma yuktan yedithishtat yekaha. Here the idea is what? It talks about the power of Brahman by which Brahman is able to create, preserve and resolve the universe. Those who were devoted to meditation and contemplation, they saw the self, the Atma, the power of the divine, hidden in one's own qualities. He is the one who rules over all these causes from beginning to the end. That Shakti, that is called Devatma Shakti, as mentioned in the mantra, Devatma Shakti. And later we find the elaboration of that power also, that Devatma Shakti. And that power is said in our sutra as Aja. That is the interpretation. That power, that Shakti is given as Aja in the sutra. So Shakti can never exist independently. Shakti has to depend upon a Shaktiman. The person endowed with Shakti. Shakti is never Swatantram, never independent. Your thinking power cannot exist without you, without independent of you. Your speaking power cannot exist independent of you. Hearing faculty cannot exist independent of the hearer. That's for Prakriti, being a Shakti, can never be Swatantra, can never be independent. It is Paratantra only, it is dependent only. So this interpretation is correct because it is based on the same Upanishad itself. Which Upanishad? Shvetasvatara Upanishad itself. Shankaracharya gives another mantra from the same Upanishad, 4.10. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam cha maheshwaram tasya vayava bhutaistum yaptam sarvamidam jagat. So you understand that prakriti is maya. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam cha maheshwaram. The wielder of maya, the controller of maya is Maheshwaram, the great lord himself. The whole world is pervaded by beings that are parts of the lord. The present mantra is 4.5, and in support of this, Shankaracharya quotes the previous as also the later mantra. Two mantras he quotes in support of the present mantra 4.5 that we read earlier. Here, one is the mantra before that is from first chapter, third mantra. Te dhyana yoga nugata apashyan devatma shaktim sogunair nigudam yak karanani nikilani tani. Kalatma yuktan eti triktatyekaham. That is the first mantra. The previous mantra, he used that as a quotation that we just saw. And the later mantra in 4.10, mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam cha maheshwaram tasya vayava bhutaistu vyaptam sarvamidam jagate. 4.10. So the later mantra says maya is prakriti and nature of maya is maheshwaraha. So this is called mayi. Nature of maya is Maheshwara, called mayi. We know deha, dehi, all that. We know those terminologies. And he is one who controls maya. Ishwara means the controller. So from this mantra, what do we come to know? We come to know that maya is equal to prakriti. And prakriti is under the control of Ishwara. And therefore, prakriti is only paratantra, not independent. And so it's not Swatantra Prakriti. Thus, Shankaracharya concludes, Ajha refers to Paratantra only, a dependent Vastu only. Lohita, Shukla, Krishna, they do not refer to Gunatrayam, but Varnatrayam. Not all these Rajottama, Sattvarma, Tamo Gunas, but talks about the three colors only, Varnatrayam. So Upanishad talks about the same thing in the same Upanishad, as we saw, Svetasvatra Upanishad. And also in Chandogya Upanishad, there is a mantra in 6th chapter, 4th section, 1st mantra. Yadagre rohitam rupam tejasaham tad rupam yat shuklam tadapam yat krishnam tad. So yat shuklam tadapam yat krishnam tad annasya apagate agnehe agnitvam vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam trini rupani teva satyam. Are the three colors only? The three colors only are the reality. Trini Rupani. When fire is gross, it has red color, which comes from its subtler aspect. And there is also the white color in it, which comes from the subtle water aspect. In the fire, there is water element. Similarly, sometimes it has a dark color, the fire, which comes from the subtle earth element. So the Upanishad says, we discussed all these shlokas in great detail then. you can refer to those lectures. So the Upanishad says, in reality, fire is nothing beyond these three colors only: red, white, and black. So this proves the fallacy of the idea of the grass fire. Now the Chandogya Upanishad talks about three colors, and they represents three elements: the red, the color that is the fire; the white color refers to water, the water principle; and the black color represents the food principle, Anna Tattvam or Prithvi Tattvam. So in Chandogya Upanishad, three elemental tattvams, Bhuta Trayam, is talked about. Three elements. First is Agni Srishti, and Shankaracharya says, I will choose Bhuta Trayam in place of that, which has Upanishadic support. So instead of saying that, he says Bhuta Trayam, which has Upanishad support. And Gunatrayam has no Upanishadic support, but Bhuta Trayam has. Then comes the problem. Three colors belong to three Bhutas only. And how do you say that the Varnatrayam belongs to only Prithivi here? Because three colors belong to three Bhutas, right? So Agni, Apaha, and Prithivi. And now how do we say that the Varnatrayam belongs to only Prithivi here, Prithivi alone? For Shankaracharya says, Varnatrayam to Prithivi, and for that he says that the Bhutatraya has got three colors potentially. And therefore, Lohita, Shukla, Krishna represents Bhutatraya only. And how do you interpret Aja? Prithivi as Varnatraya Visishta Bhutatrayam. How do you say that? How can you interpret that? And Shankaracharya says, Aja is Karanam and Bhutatrayam is Karyam. And therefore, Karanam contains the Karyam in potential form as seed contains the tree. So if Prakriti includes Bhutatrayam, it should have Varnatrayam also. So Bhutatraya Rupa Karya Drishtya Varnatrayam Siddhati. So the finding meaning of the word is what? Varnatraya Visishta Maya Agisma. And the sixth chapter, second section, first mantra of Chandogya says, Sadeva Somya Idamagra Asit Ekamevadvitiyam Taddeha Ahuhu Asatyeva Idamagra Asit Ekamevadvitiyam Tasmadasataha Sajjagata. What a mantra. Somya, he tells the student, before this world was manifest, what was there? There was only existence. Satyeva. Sadeva Saumya Idam Agre Asi. It was only there. It only existed. One without a second. Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Ekam. One. Evam. Only. Advitiyam. Without a two. That alone existed. And some people say there was only non-existent. Taddeha Ahuhum Asatyeva Idam Agre Asi. That also Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Out of that non-existent, Tasmate Asataha Satri Jayata. From that asat only non-existence, the existence came. Without Bhashyas, it's impossible to understand any of this mantras. And about the creation of elements, it does not talk about Pancha Bhutani. It talks about three Bhutas only. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Tasmadva Etasmad Atmana Akasha Sambhutaha Akashad Vayuhu Vayor Agnihi Agnerapaha Advyaprithivi Prithivya Oshadayaha Oshadibhyonam Annat Purushaha. So from that Atman, Tasmadva Yetasmat Atmanaha Akasha Sambhutaha, space is born. And from that Akasha, air is born. From air, fire is born. From fire, waters are born. From water, earth is born. And from earth, the herbs, Oshadis, they are born. And from herbs, food is born. And from food, humans are born. That is how Taittiriya discusses. And that portion we should not bring in here, because we are talking about only three elemental tattvas. So we should bring only the Chandogya interpretation in this particular sutra. He talks about Tejas Srishti, that is Agni Srishti, Ap Srishti, water Srishti, and Anna Srishti means Prithvi Srishti. So these are the three elements he talks about. And when we talk about the Srishti, what about the Upakrama, beginning? Is Jyotihi. Jyotihi is Agni Tattvam. The Upanishad talks about three elements, beginning with Agni Tattvam, and this is the meaning of the word Aja. we are now understanding still the word aja, ajam ekam, that aja. So the reason for such an interpretation is what? Adjective given in the mantra is Lohita Shukla Krishna. I already mentioned. Since adjectives are same, the noun also should be same. Here noun ajaham should refer to Bhutatrayam only. Now you bring Bhutatrayam from Chandogya Upanishad and take it as ajaham, as Bhutatrayam in Sweta Sutra Upanishad. How do you link that? You take the Bhutatrayam of Chandogya and then you link it, take it as the ajaha as given in the Buddha, as Bhutatrayam in the Sweta Sutra Upanishad. And the next word is tu. Tu means it is for emphasis. In the previous sutra, he pointed out that the mantra is vague, allowing many interpretations. And Vyasacharya wants to say that my interpretation alone is correct. That is why it is correct? Because it is based on Veda Pramana. Veda-based interpretation of mine alone is correct. That is what Vyasacharya's contention is. Then the next word is AK. AK means some Vaidikas. Here some Vaidikas. Some Vaidikas means Vyasacharya wants to refer to Samaveda chanters here. Vaidikas, Samaveda Vaidikas. Because support is from where? It's from Chandogya Upanishad, which is a Samaveda Upanishad. So AK refers to Samavedinaha. Especially who chants the Upanishad mantras, 6.4.1. Yadagre rohitam rupam tejasaham, tad rupam yad chuklam tadap tadapam, yad krishnam tad annasya apagat agnehi agnitvam vacharampanam vikaro namadeyam trini rupani tyava satyam. So these are all samavedinaha. Adiyate, they read, some people read all of them, they chant these mantras. Tatahi, as I talk about, they also talk about the way I interpret it. In the way, Varnatraya Visishta Bhutatrayam. Varnatraya endowed with Varnatraya Visishta Bhutatrayam. Bhutatrayam, the three elements, not Panjabhutani, Bhutatrayam, as we told already. Agni, fire principle, water principle, and earth principle. So what I say only is correct, is Vyasacharya's assertion. Let us go to the next sutra. Kalpanopadeshacha madhvadivara virodaham. This is the 10th sutra of the 4th section, 1st chapter, 116th running Brahma Sutra. And the argument here is what? It is in support of Sutra 8. It is continued here. First, Sutra 8 is the first sutra of the Siddhikarna. Let us go to the general analysis. The Purvapakshi raises a question here. He interpreted Bhutatrayam and I am not saying Trini Bhutani. I use the word Bhutatrayam as a group of three elements. I am not telling three different elements. I am using the word Bhutatrayam as one group of three elements. We take the three elements as one unit. It is because the mantra says what? Ajam ekam. As mantra specifically states, ekam it is. Ajam ekam. So controversy is about the word aja, and how can you take Bhutatrayam as aja? And Shankaracharya took aja as what? As paratantra prakriti, and aja means birthless. When you take aja as Bhutatrayam, there is a contradiction, because all three elements are not birthless, they are born. And how can you take aja for ajata Bhutatrayam, the one that is not born? And Vyasacharya asked, who said aja means birthless? I don't want to take etymological meaning at all for this. My intention is something else. I want to take the popular meaning of ajaha. And popular meaning of ajaha is what? Is more powerful always than the etymological meaning that we have said many times. And what is the popular meaning of ajaha? Ajaha means a goat. What about aja? Aja is a she goat. Ajaha is a male goat. Aja is a she goat. So in the second line, ajaha means the gihi goat, and the mantra talks about the he and the she goat. Then the Purvapakshi asked the question, what the goats has got to do in the Upanishad? A good question only. For that Vyasacharya says, this is an imagery given. The he goat And the she goat, the male goat and female goat, they should be taken as examples because the Upanishad conveys the teachings through an imagery. It is a kalpana upadeshaha. Upanishad talks about intelligent jivas and unintelligent jivas. One is compared to one type of he goat, male goat. Another is compared to another type of he goat, male goat. And the prakriti is compared to the she goat, the female goat. So, and in one, the she goat is attracted by the male he goat. And in the other, the male goat becomes a sannyasi. He's not attracted by the she goat. By sense pleasures, that means. So one gets the vairagyam of renouncing the sense pleasures. So one example is given in this sutra. And here Shankaracharya quotes Chandogya Upanishad, third chapter, first section, first mantra, where sun is compared to madhu, honey. But the mantra says, asavva adityaha deva madhu, tasya dhyaureva tirascheena vagumsaha antariksham apupaha marichaya putraha. So sun is honey of God, deva madhu. Can sun be honey anytime at all? There is no connection between sun and honey, but it is an imagery. In Kathopanishad, the body is compared to a chariot, another imagery. Similarly, jiva is not a goat, but goat imagery is given. So as regards the Lohita, Shukla and Krishna, Vyasacharya says that you imagine Lohita, Shukla, Krishna, goat. Goat of these three colors. And not only is a she goat with three colors, but it has many children also, putraha. Many of them. Now we will go for word analysis here. The word cha is taken first and let us, it means moreover, in addition. And kalpanopadesha means here, since the teaching is through an imagery, a kalpana. And madhvadivata means madhu. Madhu adivata, like honey, imagery, for the sun, adityaha. So avirodaha, there is no contradiction. This is the running man. Now we'll see the significance of the kalpana upadesha. It is a compound word. One is kalpana. Kalpana means imagery, and upadeshaka means teaching. So it is a teaching through an imagery, kalpana upadesha. Because of this reason, sadhyam kept in my mind is what? Avirodaha, the conclusion for which the reason, the kalpana is given. That is avirodaha. And the cha means what? Further supportive argument are also given. And the next word is what? Madhu adivata. It consists of madhu and adi and ati madhu. So madhu means honey. He keeps in mind the honey imagery given in the third chapter, first mantra, first section, first mantra. Asavva adityaha deva madhu. The mantra I just read. And adi means etc. Madhu adi, etc. Not only honey imagery is there, but also there are many other imageries also. And physical body is compared to a tree in some places. So as in the case of imageries in other Upanishads, goat imagery also should be taken as an imagery. There is no contradiction if ajam is taken as birthless also. So instead of taking it as birthless, we take it as goat-like, the three elements like the goat, three different colors. There's no contradiction. And the Purvapakshi's problem is what? Etymologically, this problem is etymologically, and Vyasacharya is the popular meaning he takes. Purvapakshi takes etymologically. So if Aja has Varnatraya Vishishta Prakriti, there is no need for goat imagery at all. And Shankaracharya's interpretation does not require goat imagery also. It is taken birthless Prakriti, there is no problem. So there is no contradiction in that way, Acharya interpreted also. That's what we are trying to say. So in the previous problem, avyaktam as body, and here he takes ajaha as goat. Now we will complete this adhikaranam in the traditional format, because this only the way it is an imagery. We should take only that much. And what is the conclusion in our standard format, five-factor format? The vishayaha, the subject matter of this adhikaranam is what? The subject matter is ajaha. Ajaha represents sankhya pradhanam or not. That is the samshaya. So the aja shabda occurring where? In Sweta Swatra Upanishad is the subject matter, Vishaya. And the Samshaya is whether that represents the Sankhya Pradhanam or not. Does it reveal Sankhya Pradhanam Prakriti? And the Purva Paksha, the contention of the opponent, But what does he say? Ajahari, it's the beginningless cause of world, therefore beginningless prakriti only. Lohita, Shukla, Krishna refers to the three gunas. Gunatraya visishta, pradhanam. The Siddhanta's view, the fourth factor, Siddhanta's conclusion is what? The word does not reveal Sankhya Prakriti at all. The word Aja does not refer Sankhya Prakriti at all. It is not supported by what? By the Veda Pramanam, because Veda does not talk about an independent matter, whereas Sankhya philosophers talk about independent matter. Vedic interpretation is twofold that we saw also. Aja must mean Varnatraya Visishta Paratantra Prakriti or Varnatraya Visishta Bhutatrayam. The Sankhya's interpretation is wrong, is our conclusion. This is Siddhanti's take. And Sangati, the Adhikaranam is in the appropriate place in the Brahma Sutra. So with this, the second Adhikaranam is over. Now we will go to the third Adhikaranam in the next class. So Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Pratitilina Seya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamidachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.